May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. One of the great gifts that we enjoy in the Episcopal Church is the liturgical calendar. And we are coming now to the end of this liturgical year. Next week is the last Sunday of Pentecost, when we at St. John's not only kirk our tartans, but we celebrate Christ the King. Always the Sunday before that last Sunday, the attention is focused on the second coming of Christ and the end of things as we know them. But it's not just the end of something that our focus is given. Because in our Christian belief, when something ends, there is always a new beginning. When we are baptized, we give up the old way of living and we begin a new way of life that's guided by our baptismal covenant. When we are forgiven of our sins, we amend our way of life and do not do those things that have caused the hurt and the pain anymore. And ultimately, when we die, we step out of this body into the new body of eternal life. Our whole existence in Christianity, in our Christian faith and in our Christian life, is woven with endings. But along with those endings always comes new beginnings that bring with them new hope and new life. In January of 2004, St. John's here had a very painful ending, as some folks made the choice to not only leave St. John's, but to leave the Episcopal Church. They left because they were angry. They were angry at our bishop, angry at the diocese, and angry at the national church. When they left, St. John's was left with a remnant of around 50 very faithful people who were not sure what the future held, except that they knew that there would be a future. And because of our trust in God, we knew the future would be different, but it was going to certainly be much brighter. 5 months later, in June of 2004, I was appointed as priest in charge of St. John's. We still had a very small but very active congregation. We had just a few children. We were a community of faith that was not very well known in the larger community. And we had very little money. St. John's today, coming to the end of 2009, is a very different place to what it was in 2004. There is not a day when something is not happening in these buildings. We have kids running all over the place, and it's absolutely wonderful. The average Sunday attendance is a record number in the life of St. John's ever. There's not one floor, not one wall, not one ceiling in all of our buildings that's not been painted, carpeted, or renewed. Yes, we still struggle with money, but you know what? Tell me a family today that doesn't struggle with money. We're not alone. But our bills have been paid. The lights are on. And we at St. John's Episcopal Church are known in this community not just for our fish fries, but as a place that will welcome and will accept all people, showing them the face and the love of Christ. In all of this, I bought a home on the river and I married Judy. And at my age in ordained ministry, I was looking forward towards retirement here at St. John's. We came together at a very difficult time in all of our lives. And together, we have healed. Our life together now is vibrant and it's healthy. It's not without its disagreement or struggle, but you know, that's okay. Because sometimes only by the struggle do we determine God's will for us. In my contentment here at St. John's, in my incredible enjoyment of ministering with you, in my love of being your priest and your pastor and your friend, in my incredible pride in all that you do for St. John's and for Christ, in all of that, I began to have a stirring deep in my soul that my work was done and my struggle began. And believe me, it has been an incredible struggle. At times it has been a fight, and at times it's been nothing less than an all-out war. Into this mix came a church in Oklahoma, of all places, in the Episcopal Church. All the priests have profiles that are kept on a computer in New York. When a church becomes vacant, the profile of that church gets matched with the profiles of priests who fit the bill of what they are looking for in a priest. The church then narrows it down to about 20 priests and usually writes those priests a letter inviting them to be part of their search process as candidates. Priests get these letters all the time. And I, on my computer, have a standard letter that I simply change the name of the church that writes to me, that says thanks, but no thanks. Yet back in July, I received a letter that struck me incredibly differently. In reading their history, 6 years ago, their average attendance was around 180 people. Today, it is 50. They have few kids and very little money, but they have a very faithful remnant. That letter I responded to because I knew that deep within my soul I had to respond to that. Over the last 5 months, I have been involved in that search process. But more importantly, over the last 5 months, I have been very intentional about God's will for my ministry and my life. Believe me, this has been made more difficult because of you, the community of faith of St. John's. In these last few months, I have had many affirmations of the health and the vitality of St. John's Episcopal Church. I see reading club, I see EYC, I see pastoral care, and I see men's club, I see inreach and outreach, Christian formation and music. I read an annual report that only touches the tip of the iceberg that is the way of life that Christ has called you to, and how many of you have responded to that call. Last week in Donna's sermon, part of it was about moving from security to faith. This past Thursday night, I was called by the vestry of St. Michael's in Norman, Oklahoma, to become their new rector. And I, in my move from security to faith, have accepted that call. I accepted it with the security that St. John's is an incredibly healthy, vibrant, and vital community of faith. I accepted it with faith that my gifts of ministry can now help another community of faith become what God intends them to become. At the end of every service at St. John's, I offer the prayer that includes the words, "And our work is done." That prayer speaks of resurrection, but I believe it has spoken to me in my work at St. John's. My work may be done here, but your work isn't. The life that God has called you to has to continue to grow and to deepen. For the first time in my 5 years at St. John's Episcopal Church, we have a sign on the road out there that says, "The Episcopal Church welcomes you." You. Everybody that reads that sign gets a welcome here. The Episcopal Church at St. John's now welcomes everybody, you. That's not always been true of St. John's, but I believe that that sign is now a bold statement of where God has brought us. You all will have an incredibly special place in both mine and Judy's heart. And believe me, this would be so much easier if I did not love you. But I do. And my prayer is that you continue to love one another. Make these doors wider for all people as you continue to live out your baptismal covenant, showing the face of Christ and the love of Christ to all people. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for allowing me to share this part of your story in this community of faith, this incredible community of faith we know as St. John's. Thank you. Amen.